Good evening, class. If I'm right, this is class four on our spiritual authority lesson. We're going to take off, because I never finished that chapter on the origin of Satan. And I have a few more things I need to say to you about that last class, about Satan's origin. And I got a few more points. We're still coming on those two sets of scripture. That's Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, and then Ezekiel 28:13-17. Which talk about the rise and fall of Satan and sin against God's authority and one sin against God's conduct, which sin against God's holiness. And we talked about that last week, and I want to bring us up to par on what it was last week. But here's some statements I need to make here concerning the origin of Satan and some things that are going to protect us, because it's all about where we stand in the position right now. Now, even though we talk about Satan, his fall, the Bible writes these things for our admonition, for us to be able to walk far above all these things, and so we'll know how to function when we come to these things. Here's point number one. We who serve God must not serve according to the principle of Satan, right? Whenever the principle according to Christ is operating, that of Satan fades away, or that which is of Satan is shut down. It's shut down, satanic principle. Satan is still a usurper today. He will be cast down at the time of the end of the book of Revelation. If we would truly serve God, we must be completely purified from the principle of Satan. And the reason why when you function in the principle of Christ, the principle of Satan fades away, because greater, as 1 John 4:4, is he that is in me or is in us than he that is in the world. When Jesus' presence, his anointing, when his glory is being magnified, Satan can't stand it. And Satan is not only hindered, but he's in a he's on private property, and God won't permit Satan to be present wherever the glory of God is present. Satan can't stand to be in God's glory, and so his presence fades away. He can't take it. So you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and Satan cannot stand God's presence. Remember that. And so, remember, Satan is still a usurper of authority. So, if we will truly serve God, we must be completely purified from this satanic principle. Now, here's another flag. I flagged these statements. I put red flags on these statements because these are the statements that I want you to be conscious of during the whole course of the class. Even if you don't remember nothing else, if you remember these red flag statements, it's going to help you to understand the bulk of the lesson. It's hard to capture the whole book in such a short time, but I flag high points to get the bulk and the gist of what we're trying to put in you in this particular class. And I know all the other instructors do the same thing, especially Apostle Thompson. He got certain things he wants you to know, and you need to know. And so I try to do likewise. I try to copy his format of teaching. And so here's another flag. In the prayer where our Lord teaches his church and the word, and bring us not into temptation, points to Satan's work. Now, everybody remember the prayer. Matter of fact, turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew. You know, sometimes we read over scriptures too fast. I think it's 6 and 10. Disciples of Agnes teach us to pray. Well, that ninth verse. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. See, I used to say on earth for a long time, by her Dr. Montrell, did some teaching on and said inert. He's talking about in us. You see it? And I, from that day forward, I couldn't say on earth no more. Because God wants to get things done in us. You see, and that helped me. That helped me so much. Just one word. And so in earth, as it is in heaven. That helped me. That helped me. So he said, give unto us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, that we forgive our debtors. And here is the scripture right here. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, now I'm going to stop right there, because I'm stopping right there particularly, because that's where our point I need to bring up. You see it? Now, it says, and bring us not into temptation. It points into Satan's work. The other scripture said, that's another translation. I think that the Darby translation that he used, King James said, and lead us not into temptation. You know, no, God will not lead us in temptation, you know, or he not leave us into the realm of temptation. You know, he sometimes, you know, in this world we will be tempted, Jesus said, but it's not coming from God. The scripture says over in James said, God cannot be tempted with evil. There's no evil. Every good and every perfect gift come from God. So sometimes people put things on God and say, God allowed this, God did this, God did that. No, God cannot be tempted with evil. He delivered us. He delivered us from evil. He don't bring evil to us, because God is not evil good. God is God. God is good. When somebody say all the time God is good. So there's no evil with God. Now, so lead us not into temptation. Now the next part said, deliver us from evil. Now why? Deliver us, lead us not temptation. Talk about Satan's word. And the next point is, whereas the word but deliver us from evil refers to directed to Satan himself. You see it? Deliver us, Father, from Satan himself. You see, and Jesus did this. Jesus did this. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into, there was pre-cross. There was before the cross. And some of these things was prophetically, the prayer is still current, but it's still prophetic. You see, it could be both at the same time. See, God can have both things going. See, God is present and future. So, lead us not temptation, deliver us from evil. And so, it refers to Satan himself. And we already been delivered, you see, because Colossians talked about that. He delivered us from the power of darkness, that's Satan himself, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're in the kingdom of Christ now. See, we're not under Satan's dominion. We're not under Satan's authority. We're not under Satan's power. The only time we get under Satan's power when we yield ourselves to sin, we yield ourselves to temptation, yield ourselves to our flesh to wickedness. Don't yield your members. The Bible says, don't yield your members. Don't yield your members to evil. Some people yield their members to evil. They yield themselves to evil. I heard a story once, and it's just what it is, a story. This man was an alcoholic, and he stopped drinking for some time. He said he did good. But when he got off his horse, just back in the day they said, he kept tying his horse in front of the saloon. See, some people yield themselves to temptation. They put themselves in a position for temptation. Don't never put yourself in a position of temptation. Don't never put yourself in a position. And so the man, when he got off his horse, he walking past the saloon to go the way he was going, this wine of, or this drunk will walk out of the saloon and drop his bottle, and then the alcohol, he smelled the whiff. He smelled the alcohol, and he got into Satan's domain, and he couldn't resist it, and he went back into the saloon and started drinking again. The moral of the story is, he said, don't never park too close to where you've been delivered from. So what I'm saying is, don't yield yourself. Don't yield yourself from temptation. You see it? You see, the Bible didn't say we wasn't going to be tempted. But the secret is to avoid temptation. To avoid, yeah, with all you got, avoid temptation. Now, that was a little side story then, because sometimes people yield themselves to temptation, and they won't be delivered, but they keep hanging around the same people all the time. The same thing that drew you in, you know, and your flesh is fighting it. I don't know why I'm staying on this so long. Somebody needs to hear this. Your flesh is fighting it, and then it can't fight no more sometimes, and the resistance gets so strong, you just yield yourself to it. Now stay away from it. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Fill yourself with the Word of God. And you build yourself up. You see, build up some spiritual muscles. So when that temptation comes, you know, you can resist it. You have fuel, F-U-E-L, to fight with. And don't park too close to the saloon. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Now, immediately after these words, the Lord makes the most, we're still talking the prayer, significant declaration, for thine is the kingdom. Now, know that. And the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Matthew 6:13. You see, God is confirming his position. You see it? All kingdom, all authority, and all glory belong to God and God alone. Remember that? Because God is authority. You see, and that's the key to knowing. You know, we pray the prayer, but at the end of the prayer, for thine is the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to you. Everything in the kingdom belongs to you. Everything in this world belongs to you. And the power, all power that exists belongs to you. No power is greater than our God power. All strength, and the glory, you see, for thine the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, they all belong to you, Lord. And so, when all that's said and done, Satan has no place. Satan is a defeated foe. Satan has no authority. But he sure try his best to deceive the children of God. He sure try his best. He's a deceiver. He has no power, only but the power of deception. If he can deceive you, he got you. If he can get you thinking his thoughts, he got you. If he can take your mind and control your thoughts, he got you. If you can let him take the reign of your thoughts, he got you. So don't give him the reign. Say, for thine is the kingdom, O God. Thine is the power, O God. And thou art the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now that's just the whole truth. Now, that sum up the whole authority and the whole yielding to Satan problem right then in the few verses of the Our Father prayer. You see it? What sets us totally free from Satan is the seeing of this most precious truth. You see it? It says totally free. The seeing of this precious truth. Yeah, it's the most precious truth. That the kingdom is God. Since the whole universe is under the dominion of God, we have to subject ourselves to his authority. See, everything belongs to God. The whole kingdom. You know, the earth is the Lord's. Everything belongs to God. So we got to submit ourselves to his dominion, his kingdom, his power, his glory. And see, and hear what people don't like. Hear what people don't like. Hear what people part ways. You see, and they don't understand, we're going to get into this later, the delegation of God's authority. God delegates his authority, and listen to me, Claire, listen to me, and that delegation of authority, when someone a sin against God, delegate authority, those who are put in authority, it's just like sin against God himself, just like sin against all his dominion, just like sin against all his kingdom, just like sin against all his glory. We don't want to compute that together. For some reason, we don't want to see that connection or the privilege of God giving man such authority upon the earth that we should reverence authority in others. We're not talking about they're not God. No, they're not God, but God had made them delegation of himself. It's like God put his spirit in them. God put his assignment in them. God gave his authority to them So therefore, they have the same authority, but yet they walk in flesh and blood. Yet they walk as a man. Yet they're not without fault. Yet they have insufficiency. Yet they have weaknesses. Yet they have shortcomings. But God's anointing take care of all of that. And our job is not to, is to submit. You see it? And that's some of the things we try to instill in us in this class. Because once you do that, then you understand the principle in which God's function. God functions through authority principle. And when you understand God's authority, you understand how heaven functions. Apostle is teaching on the apostolic and the heaven to earth government. And you understand is, Lord, let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's a heaven to earth government. And once I began to understand how this this heaven to earth governing function, I found out that all authority belongs to God. And God entrusted that authority to mere men. And so he put his spirit in man. And so when they function like God. Oh, but the church. Everybody say, oh, but the church. The church have yet to see it. Oh, some of them are catching on. Yeah, many in the church are catching on. And they're catching on because that's how God's going to get his will established in the earth when he put himself in men. That's how God delivered us from the power of darkness. He put himself in Jesus. Jesus began functioning as a man, but he was a God man. He had the Spirit of God in him. He spoke the word of God. He said, I say what my Father say, and I do what my Father do. He wants to walk. He said, as he is, so are we in this world, in 1 John. So we become his authority upon earth. And when God delegates authority, God, just like he delegated, he can undelegate it. We're going to look at that in time to come. How he can unanoint people. People think they can't be unanointed. Yeah, you got people out there, they think they got the title, but they're unanointed. Because they transgress God's authority. They come against God's principle of holiness. And God still got to acknowledge the holiness principle. He didn't say, you just sin and then I'm going to forgive you. No. Holiness got to become a lifestyle. You see? And God judges all things. So, yeah, you don't want to resist authority, but you also want to live holy. Because when you stand against God's word, you also offend God. What did I say? When you stand against God's holiness, you also offend God. He said, be ye holy, for I'm a holy God. So I'm saying that to let you know that some people try to get by because they got 1 John 1 and 9. But 1 John 1 and 9, not gonna erase or eradicate ignorance. You see it? God winked for a little while. But after that, when you know better, God said, I ain't winking no more. I'm judging you. Get this thing straight. Get this straight. Cut that out. Take that out of your life. And you got to be forceful with it and bold with it. You see, it come a time when God commands certain things of you. He don't ask you. He commands you. Get that out of your life. Yep. I don't know how I got all over there, but I didn't went there now. What sets us totally free from Satan is seeing of this most precious truth, that the kingdom is God, and since the whole universe is under the dominion of God, we have to subject ourselves to the authority. Let no one steal God's glory. Satan showed all the kingdom of the earth to the Lord. He sure did. But the Lord answered that the kingdom of the heaven is God. How was Satan going to give something to the Lord Jesus that was already his? You see? It was only a temptation. You see, the kingdom is God. So that thought of Satan was eradicated quickly. We must see it on earth. We must see it on earth. We must see it on earth ourselves. Let me get this straight. We must see it on earth. You can miss one word and you throw the whole sentence off. You know that? One word. Be careful with words. Where was I now? We must see it on earth if we ourselves have not met authority. We must see it on earth. If we had ourselves and not met authority, how can we possibly deal with Satan? In other words, he's saying, if you ain't met authority on earth, you must recognize that. Have I met authority? Have I met authority? See, some people never met authority. And you must ask yourself that question. Have I met authority? So he's saying we must see on earth, we must see and understand that if you never met authority, then you can't deal with Satan. Satan's going to continually deal with you. You see it? Paul, we're about to talk about Saul. Saul met authority on the Damascus Road. And we're going to find out that you got to experience it first. Some people never been. I remember Apostle was teaching. This was in the 90s. In the 90s, he was teaching. Matter of fact, we weren't even at this our new sanctuary here. We were still down the street in Darrow in our other facility. And Apostle was teaching. This pastor walks in late. You know, and Apostle always dealt with time. You know, always was strict. You late, I won't know why you're late. And so this pastor walks in late, and Apostle, he sat down, Apostle, stand up. No respect to a person. Why you late? He tried to fumble up some excuse. He said, sit down. Boy, I could look in the man's face. Boy, I can see the pain. I could see the hurt, and I could see, oh boy, he was hurting. I kind of felt sorry for him for a little bit, but he needed that. And after class, he walked up to me and said, nobody ever spoke to me like that. He said, but it changed my life. He met authority. That's what my point is. This man met authority for the first time, and it changed his life. Because now I understand authority. And now I'm looking for authority everywhere I go. Because I know God has authority in the earth realm. And except you meet authority, you cannot deal with Satan. Satan's going to deal with you. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I know. Now, we're going to another segment of this now. This segment is authority, the controversy of the universe. Now, this whole subject of authority is going to be divided right here. It's the very thing that has the earth divided right now. What? Authority, the controversy. Who got the authority? Who is in authority? You see it? You can see in the home. Your very home. Sometimes the wife gets all confused. The husband is confused. They don't know who's supposed to be in authority. The wife won't be the authority, and the man won't. They just messed up. And they try to. Well, we're going to talk about the world system of authority. We're going to talk about the church. And we're going to talk about the authority in the home, the three spirits of authority. And we're going to get to it. But the controversy. In the universe, in the entire universe, who's in authority? So the controversy of the universe is centered on who shall have the authority, and our conflict with Satan is the direct result of our attributing authority to God. See, I don't know if you know it, but I'm flagging this. I'm flagging this right now. I'm going to read it again for you. See, I flag these things because when I flag them, Then I can let you know that this is something you need to remember. This is something you need to tuck under your belt because you might see it again on a question or a quiz question. I'm going to read it again. The controversy of the universe is centered on who shall have the authority. Who? And our conflict with Satan is a direct result of our attributing authority to God. See, that with that point being said, Satan get upset when someone give God authority. When God becomes your authority, you become a foe, an enemy of Satan. But Satan's not going to bother you. If God's not your authority, Satan will let you do whatever you want. Satan will try to let you live 200 years being a drunkard. being a dope fiend, being a whoremonger. Why? Because you're giving glory to his kingdom. But the moment you attribute authority to God, Satan begins to fight against you. Satan begins to try to put pressure on the kingdom of God. You see, and that scripture in Matthew 11 and 12, well, it talks about the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence got to take it by force. See, whenever the kingdom of God submits itself to God, then Satan become violent. He raises his head up and begin to fight against the kingdom of God. But the violent, those that in the kingdom, got to rise up and take their rightful place in the kingdom and walk in authority that Jesus had given them. And they got to take everything by force. Satan is not going to sit back and let you just have just a holy, glorious time. And no, he's going to fight you on every side. Jesus said in John 6 and 33, he said, in this world, you sure have tests, trials, and temptation. Because he knew you become an adversary of Satan. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. So you don't have to worry about Satan defeating you. You don't have to worry about Satan just being able to just do anything he wants to you. No, I got my hand on you. He's saying, I got my hand on you, and as long as I'm Lord, Satan is under your feet. All right. So I flagged that statement here. To maintain God's authority, we must be subject to it. Subject to what? To God's authority with all of our heart. To maintain God's authority, we got to be subject to it with all of our heart, including God and man. You can't be subject to God without being subject to man. Some people think they can do it, but they can't. It is absolutely necessary for us to meet God's authority and to possess a basic knowledge of what it is. That's what we're trying to do, Claire. We're trying to give you a basic knowledge. We're not trying to give you everything you need to know because it's impossible to give you everything. A basic knowledge. Now I need you to turn to Acts 9. Because in Acts 9, we're going to see someone that met authority for the first time. We know him by the name of Saul. And Saul had to have a dealing with Jesus. You know, Saul was a persecutor of the church. Yeah. Saul was one of the greatest adversary that Jesus had. Because when Jesus died on the cross and these people were preaching Christ, you know, he was learning the letter. He was learning religion in the Pharisees of the Pharisees. He said, I'm a Pharisee of a Pharisee. And he understood it, but he didn't know Jesus was the Christ. And he began to fight against the church. He began to kill him. He began to put him in prison. He began to drag him out in the streets. And they did a lot of things to Christians. They began to whip him. And they began to punish them. They began to put them in prison, in dungeons. And all for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was a ringleader of these things. And he did many terrible things. Everything probably ain't listed. Didn't have a chance to list his whole life. But Paul was a ringleader of persecuting the church. What the Lord did though, but the Lord knew his, what word I'm looking for. When Paul did something, he went all out. And he did this because he believed God was allowing him to do this. He did it because he was believing he was in the will of God. And that's how, oh Lord, give me the right word. That's how fortified he was about doing it. Because he had compassion for God. And it's something when you do something ignorantly. He did it ignorantly, thinking he was doing the will of God. God saw that in him. You know what God said? God said, if I could just turn this around, I could just turn this around, what he has in him. He said, if I could just turn this around, he can use this for me. So what God did, God took Apostle Paul, he took Saul, and he made him Paul. He converted him on this Damascus road, and it changed Saul's whole life. Matter of fact, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. I don't know what Saul means, but I know he became a Paul. Now look at that. Look at the scripture. Verse 8. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if any he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, you see that, men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. See, I just gave a little prelude of his, who he was. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Well, I thought you were persecuting people. No, when you persecute the church, you're persecuting Christ. I'm who thou persecuted. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That means kick against authority. The pricks mean kick against the authority. He said hard to kick against authority. And on that Damascus road, for the first time, Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he met his authority. And the first thing he said, the first thing Paul said was, what would thou have me do? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He stood trembling, astonished, and said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Then the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You got your first assignment. You got your first assignment. Well, let me go back to the book, because we're about to close right here. The time passes so fast. It passes so fast. Before he knew authority, Paul tried to wipe out the church. And after he met the Lord on the Damascus Road, he saw that it was hard for the feet of human power to kick against the goals of God's authority. You see it? You see it? You see it? And what I'm doing, I'm flagging this class. I'm going to read it one more time. But I'm flagging it because it's a good statement here. Here was the statement, say it again. Before he knew authority, before he met authority, Paul tried to wipe out the church. He wasn't going to stop until he destroyed this whole move. See, he thought there was a move, some move that was putting pressure on the synagogue. They were losing people out of the synagogue. They were losing church support. The money was not coming into the synagogue to support the synagogue. People were starting to leave the synagogue and go behind this man called Jesus. And so they said, we got to stop this move. And so Paul was a ringleader because we're doing this for God, you see. But he didn't know that Jesus was connected to God. Had he known it, he would have stopped the crucifixion if he could. That's the kind of person Saul was. But he didn't know it. Matter of fact, he said in one of his letters, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And if I was there, I probably would have tried to stop it if they had known. So he didn't know much about authority. He didn't know anything. So to maintain God's authority, we must first be subject to it with all of our heart. So before Paul knew it, he met authority. He was trying to wipe out the church. He found it was hard for his feet to kick against the pricks or God's authority. He immediately fell to the ground and acknowledged Jesus as Lord. After that, he was able to submit to the direction given him by Ananias in the city of Damascus, for Paul had met God's authority. Now, just another story in itself. When Paul said, what must I do? See, that was his direct submission to, he felt a sense of power. He met a presence they never met before, greater than himself. And when he accepted the Lord on that Damascus road, he took upon the nature of Christ on the inside. And when the Spirit of God come on the inside of you, the very nature of God come on the inside of you, and the authority of God come on the inside of you. And so he recognized, oh my goodness, I got to humble myself under this mighty hand. And so he recognized for the first time that he was fighting against the church. He said, Lord, what must I do? And the Lord said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, go into this town Next town, he said. He said, what the name of this town was? He said, Damascus. He said, and you're gonna meet somebody. You're gonna meet a man called Ananias. He's gonna tell you what you must do. Now the point of this story here, and I'm closing on this, the point of this story here is that Ananias was a little nobody. I don't want to say he was a nobody, but that's the only time the scripture says, and even Brother Nee said, that he was mentioned in the Bible one time. But God, you don't know who God's using. God used Ananias to minister to one of the greatest apostles of time. Paul wrote three quarters of the New Testament. And so sometimes you don't know who you're ministering to. Sometimes you don't know who you're witnessing to sometimes. You don't know who that is God trying to rise up when God said, go minister to that person. Go see if that person is born again. You be my hand. You be my voice. You be my feet. And if when I tell you go, see, when you submit it, when God tell you go minister or talk to somebody for him on his behalf, if you ain't understand authority, you're not going to submit to that leadership of the Holy Ghost. And you're not going to go and obey God. And so sometimes I'm saying that you don't know who you're ministering to. You don't know what God's trying to get in the earth realm. So you got to have perfect obedience here. But once you learn submission to authority. And so Paul received that spirit of obedience. And he said, what you have me do? So he went to Ananias. Ananias ministered to him. He said, I've heard many things of this man here. Are you sure, Lord? I don't know. The man persecuting the church. Matter of fact, you heard he got a letter from Damascus. He said, but nevertheless, he said, the Lord said, look, go ahead, put your hands on him. He's mine. He changed his heart. I got in on the inside of him. And then Ananias obeyed. And then Ananias laid his hands on him. And the Bible said, Paul received his sight. He was three days without sight. Yeah, he experienced a death, burial, and resurrection. In 3 days, on the third day, God gave him sight, and he was able to see. And then he wanted to go find out all he could about Jesus. He started finding out, he said, teach me about Jesus. Teach me about Jesus. And so we began to learn about this precious Christ that he now serves, we now serve, and we're trying to learn how to function in him. So glad that the far as I can go, we're going to take him next time. We're going to move on a little further. I don't know. I wish I could tell you where we're going next week, but I can't right now. I'll let you know when I get there. So you've been a good class. You listen so good. And I want you to go in peace. And I'll see you next week.